Wednesday night at Bible study, we were studying through Zechariah, and we got to a point where God was prophesying through Zechariah, and He said that He's going to whistle for His people and gather them in, for I have redeemed them. And we began to talk about how when we were each growing up, how moms or dads had that whistle that, man, you knew that was your mom or dad, and that was time to set up and pay attention. Whether it was a whistle or a snap, or for me, it was my middle name. I don't know if you guys are all that way, when everything was fine until that middle name come in. And when you heard Stephen Thomas, things were getting serious. It was beyond that point. Now, I don't know how John Michael Pate does it. Because he's always John Michael. I would be scared to death. Because when I heard that middle name, I knew Mama meant business. But our parents all had something to get our attention. And we knew at that point, we better pay attention. And so I began to look this week, because God had laid that on my heart about how important it was for Him to get our attention. And we can find through the Scripture, there's several times that God did that. I think of the Damascus Road, when Saul is walking on the Damascus Road and this blinding light comes down and God gets his attention. You know, or Jonah is running away and all of a sudden it's a storm and he finds out that God has got his attention because he's looking at the inside of the belly of a whale. But the one we're going to talk about this morning is in Exodus, and it's that burning bush that Moses was able to see. And that's the one we're going to talk about this morning. So if you would turn with me to that passage in Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read just a little bit here. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the way we see how you moved in people's lives in times past. And Lord, we pray that we would see that in our lives today, that we would know that you are calling us, we'd know that you're moving us, we'd know that you are still the same God. We'll promise that through your word, but Lord, I pray that today we would feel it through your Spirit. Lord, move in this place, that we might be what you desire. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage, again, like I said, that bush got his attention. Here Moses was. He's wandering on the far side of the wilderness. But he's doing his job. I mean, his job was to tend the sheep, and that's what he was doing. He was going about his daily routine, wasn't hurting anybody. He's just doing his job, and all of a sudden God says, I want more out of that guy. And so God gets his attention. And of course, we know the rest of the story, how God sends him to Pharaoh, and the plagues all happen, and then when Pharaoh does finally let the people go, he has to take them across the wilderness, and he leads them up to the promised land, and we've heard all that story. But none of that story happens if God is not first able to get Moses' attention. And I wonder how many things I've missed out on in my life because God has tried to get my attention and I've just ignored it. I think it happens a lot more than we would like to admit. I think it's one of those things that we begin to go about our daily business. We're doing the good things. We're being good people. But we are spiritually wandering really close to the edge of the wilderness. Hey, well, we shine pretty good in that wilderness, in that darkness that we live in, that we have to live in this world that we live in. When you see a Christian living the way they're supposed to, then they shine, like the Bible says, like stars in the universe. And that's what we're supposed to do. But what happens is we begin to wander spiritually as well, because we feel like we're doing okay. Well, don't be surprised if God does something to get your attention. Sometimes we have to pray that God will get somebody else's attention. You know, we've all had that person in our life that we want God to get a hold of, that we want God to reach out and touch. We want them to see God and accept God in their lives. And so we pray, God, just get their attention. But yet sometimes I'm the one praying that for other people, and God says, Steve, I want your attention. I was trying to work up a song. I don't know where this came from. But I was trying to work up a song this week for tonight. And it's a song I've sang in the past years ago, and it's way too high for me now, but it's this guy, and he's saying, and it's like God is saying, Steve, I miss my time with you. Those moments together when I used to meet with you each day, and it hurts me to say that you're too busy trying to serve me. And how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? Man, I wish I could sing that song, because too many times I've lived that song. You know, we try to serve Him. We try to live that life. And we're not even paying attention to Him. We just walk past Him. Sometimes I think it would be really cool if I got to see that miracle that got my attention, whether it be that burning bush or something really nice, that bright light. But unfortunately, sometimes it takes the belly of a whale to get my attention. And I've never been in one, but I'm pretty sure that stinks. I'm pretty sure that stinks in the belly of the whale. And I know I've been in situations where God says, hey, you want to do it your way, you wait. It's going to end up stinking. And He gets my attention the same way that He got Moses' attention. But then He goes on. Not only does He get Moses' attention, He gets real personal. Once he realized that Moses sees this bush and he's going to walk over there, that's not enough. He doesn't just want your attention. He wants you. And he wants you to know that he wants you. I mean, here he is. This is God. And Moses is walking over to see this bush. And God says, "Moses." Well, right there, that would freak me out. But he didn't just say it once. He said it twice. Now, I'm pretty sure Moses isn't his middle name, too. But could you imagine God saying, "Stephen Thomas, I want your attention. Moses, Moses." God is a personal God. And he wants to be, he doesn't just want your attention. He wants you to know that he knows you. The Bible tells us about how he knows all the number of hairs on our head, and he knew us before we were formed inside our mother, and he knew us enough to know that we had sin in our life and that we needed Jesus Christ to die as a sacrifice for our sin. He knows us. But the thing is, I think sometimes we live with the attitude that he doesn't really know me. He's God. He knows everybody. That would be enough to just say Moses. But he says, "Moses, Moses." It's serious. It's personal. We live this life that sometimes when God gets a hold of us, well, I know I'm living wrong because God has confronted me. God's given me that two before upside the head to straighten up. But that's not all God wants. God wants a personal relationship with you. Moses, Moses. Too many times he's just the God of the universe. He's more than that, and he wants you to know it. Goes on, not only does he get Moses' attention, not only does he call Moses by name, but then he gives Moses instructions. Now, I'm confused if I'm Moses here because I see this bush on fire and I hear God say my name twice. And so immediately I'm going to start coming over there. He said, "Oh, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground." Do you get mixed signals? Understand this, because I think sometimes non-Christians get mixed signals, and even Christians too, because we are called to God and He loves us just the way we are. Too many people think, "Well, I need to straighten up. I need to take off my sandals before I can go to Him." That's not what He's saying. Too many people want to get rid of the sin in their life. As soon as I straighten up, as soon as I get to where I can, then I'll start coming to church. Well, coming to church, you walk through that door, that's not going to do anything. That's not going to straighten you up, because I can tell you, I'm a preacher and it didn't straighten me up. The only thing that's going to straighten us up is God and a relationship with Him. But what we've got to do is understand that as he called him over and said, "Don't come any closer. I love you just the way you are. But Steve, there are things in your life. If you want to come to me and have that daily relationship, I've got some things in your life that I want to take care of." And so we get that confusion of, well, do I go to God the way I am? Because it says here, I can't because of my sandals. That's not what it's saying. He's saying, "I want you to know that I want you, and I'm going to accept you, but you need to get rid of the worldly stuff." The sandals that he had, those were man-made. Man, get rid of the man-made worldly stuff and come to me. That's what I want. I want you to come to me. Because the place you're standing when you come to me is holy ground. You're not going to be able to get rid of your sin. Only God through you is going to take care of that. So he gives him instructions. Don't come closer. Prepare yourself. So what do we do now? He's got my attention, or he's got Moses' attention. He's called him by name. He's given him instructions. That should surely be enough. Because I've come to God and I'm trying to do what he wants me to do. And that's where a lot of Christians stop. There's things in my life that I know God doesn't want, and he's working on me. It's a process of sanctification, of turning me into being more like Jesus Christ. And that will never be complete until I stand before him in heaven. But the Holy Spirit wants to do that process as we live here today. But what else does he do with Moses? It's down in verse 10. He says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. Uh-oh. It wasn't enough that I just acknowledge God and acknowledge he wants a personal relationship with me and acknowledge that there's things in my life that he wants to get rid of. But now he's saying, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Of course, we know what Moses did. He came up with every excuse in the book. Look at me. Look at who you're trying to get to do this. I can't talk. I can't. Yeah, all of these I can'ts and all of these the people won't like me. And he says, "Come on, that's the picture I get. Come on, I'm sending you to Pharaoh." And I can see this dragging his hand, basically spiritually. Come on, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. That's the way I am. It's like God has to drag me to get me to do what he wants me to go do for him. And after everything he's done for me, after him getting my attention, calling me by name, and helping to get me to where he wants me, and then he starts to send me somewhere, and I'm like, send somebody else. That's what we all say. We say that when it comes to talking to a family member, or talking to a coworker, or talking to a friend. As I'm reading this passage, God says, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh himself. I'm not sending you to one of your friends. I'm not sending you to a family member or somebody that's a buddy that you work with. I'm sending you to Pharaoh himself. You know, if when it comes to the point that he was willing to go to face Pharaoh, how much easier would it have been to just talk to a buddy at work? Another shepherd. Or maybe a family member. We don't want to go into the face of Pharaoh. We don't even want to go to the easy ones. And we've always heard that excuse, and I've said it as many times as anybody in this room, but it's so much harder to talk to a family member. It's so much harder to talk to a friend, because what if they don't accept what I'm saying? They're not going to cut your head off. Pharaoh had that opportunity. We make that excuse of we don't want to talk to that family member or that close friend because it's so much harder. It should be so much easier because you love them. It should be so much easier because they know you. They know what I used to be like. And they know what God has done since then. And they still know that I'm not perfect. God called him to serve. And like I said, this is where most of us are at. Who am I that I should go? We're still in the excuses stage, most of us. We don't want to go out and see Pharaoh. I pray for them. I'll talk to them if the opportunity comes up, but I'm not going to go make the opportunity. If God really wants me to go talk to somebody, then He's going to open the door and He's going to have them standing there waiting and saying, "Hey, can you tell me about Jesus?" It's not the way it works. Pharaoh was not expecting Moses. He was not real receptive of Moses. Why do we want people that we go witness to be receptive? Well, God, you just butter them up where all I got to do is come in and say the word and they'll snatch it up. Man, if that was the case, everybody in here would be doing it. But what God calls us to do is not easy. But walking up Calvary's Hill probably wasn't very easy either. He calls us to serve Him. He's given us a purpose. And that purpose is to speak for Him, to minister to other people, and to bring them closer to Him. That was Moses' job. Go speak to Pharaoh. Go minister to my people. Go bring my people closer to me where you can worship on this mountain. It's the same thing. And go talk to your family. Go talk to your coworker. Bring them closer to me. Go minister to that person that's hurting. Go bring people closer to my presence. Go gather them together and pray. Go do the same things Moses did. Well, I'm not Moses. I can't do that. How can you ever, Pastor, expect me to do the things Moses did? I'll tell you how. Verse 12, this is God speaking, but He said, "I will be with you." Moses could not have done any of this, and probably would not have done any of this if it weren't for that statement right there, "I will be with you." And the things that God is asking me to do this week and the things He's asking you to do today, you can't do them on your own. But you don't have to because He says, "I will be with you." What I'm asking you to do is to go out into a lost world that needs Jesus Christ and share about the love of Jesus. That's what I'm asking you to do. But I'm not sending you out there by yourself. I am going with you. I will hold your hand. I will catch you when you fall backwards. When you stumble and you don't know what to say, that's fine. I'm there with you. That's what He's calling us to do. You're not going to face Pharaoh. You're not going to face the Red Sea. You're not going to spend 40 years in a desert. But if you had to, the same God is going to be with you. No matter what God calls you to do, He's going to equip you. God still does the same things today. He's going to get your attention. At some point in your existence, God is going to get your attention. It may be a nice little blessing or a miracle, a sunset, a rainbow. It may be something terrible. I don't know. Or it may be when you face Him at the judgment seat, but at some point God is going to get your attention. My prayer is that it happens this side of that judgment seat. He's going to get your attention. Why? Why is it so important that God gets my attention? Why is it so important that God gets your attention? Because His Son spilt His blood so that you could have a relationship with Him. So that you could have forgiveness for the sins in your life. He paid that price. And Steve, you're ignoring it. I'm going to get your attention. Because I don't want you to miss out on what He's doing for you. What He's done for you. He's going to get your attention. Maybe He's getting your attention today for the first time. Maybe you're a Christian and you think, oh, well, He got my attention back when I was 21 years old. He needs to get your attention every single day. And what I mean by that is He doesn't have to perform a miracle. He doesn't have to do something that says, oh, yeah, God's there. He wants my attention every day. And the reason He does those things is because He loves me. And He doesn't just love me because He's the God of the universe that loves everybody. He loves me because He knows my name. And He's a personal God. And you go through, if you're married, and you go through a day without talking to your spouse and they're in the same house. Now, some may be on a job or things like that. But if you go through a day without talking to your spouse, then things probably aren't going to be real good at the end of the day. Or maybe they weren't good at the beginning of the day that caused that. I don't know. But if you have a relationship, it needs to grow. You know how they say older couples, as they've been married over the years, they begin to look more and more like each other? I'm sorry, Donis, you're in trouble. But they say that. I've seen it. I've been around people they just change to be more like that person that they've lived with for so long. God says, Steve, I want to be with you that much. That just being around me changes you to be more like me. That's what He wants. He wants to be a personal God that has a personal relationship with me. And like with Moses, He has instructions for you and I to live by. And I'm not talking instructions to go here and to go there. That comes later. But those instructions to say, if you love me, I have all the grace in the world. I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to bestow on you. But I don't want you to think you have the grace of God and then go out and live like the devil. That's not in this book. But that's the thought of too many people. Well, I'm saved. I can live how I want. If that's your mentality, then you better check your paperwork because it doesn't line up with God's Word. He has instructions for us to be where He wants us to be. Don't come any closer because you're not prepared to see the face of God. But take off your sandals to at least prepare the best you can. He's telling me how I can be what He wants me to be. And He's not telling you that. He's not going to tell you that on Sunday mornings from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. He's telling you that in this book. And He's blessed you to have this book in so many ways. But it's only important enough to you if you dig into it and see what He has for you. And I am going to mess up. There are going to be things that I'm going to read commentary after commentary, and they may be wrong. But what God lays on your heart through His Word is what He has for your life. I will mess up. I will say the wrong things. Your Sunday school teacher, your Bible study leader, none of them will do it on purpose. But we make mistakes. Sit down and beg God to show you the instructions He has for you as an individual. If He means anything to you, spend time in His Word. Because if He's your personal God, then you should be His personal child. And that's where we mess up. I do. After the instructions is the calling to serve. Man, if you don't think you have a mission field, well, he may not be calling me to Zimbabwe, but he may be calling me to the country corner. Or he may be calling me to the school. Or he may be calling... I don't know where he's calling you. And you will never know unless you ask him. You've got to meet him face to face for him to tell you where he wants you. But that's too scary because he may tell me to go somewhere like Zimbabwe. He may tell me to go somewhere where there's a Pharaoh. Good. He's calling every one of us to serve him somewhere. If he's calling you to serve as a teacher in the school, in whatever class level it is, whatever subject it is, I'm guessing that there's only one that teaches that class. So you're it. If he's called you and he's placed you in a job, and there may be five people that fulfill that job, well, there's four others there, but that's your job too. He's calling you to serve him today. He didn't tell Moses, hey, sometime when you get around to it, you go talk to Pharaoh. That's me. That's my mentality. Is okay, God's telling me to do this. I just got to build up my courage. No, you don't, because you'll never have enough courage. He says, come, I'm sending you. That is translated, right now, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Right now, I'm sending you to this football team or to this coffee shop or to this bank or wherever he's sending you. Whew, I'm lucky. Maybe I work at a spot where I'm out by myself and there's nobody there. You ever get gas? You ever buy groceries? You'll see somebody. But if I walk through life with blinders on, okay, God, you show me the one you want me to see. But I'm only going to look at the good ones. Because they'll be easier. No. Be willing to serve where he sends you. It doesn't have to be a far location. But remember that where he sends you, he's going to be with you. So when you walk into your job or wherever you're at, God, I'm here. My Pharaoh may be in this room today. I know you're here. I know you're with me. That's what he calls you to do. Because otherwise, nobody else is going to talk to your Pharaoh. Nobody else is going to go out and do the things God is calling you to do. Because he's a personal God, and he's calling you to do his personal work. He's got a lot of work out there. So don't assume somebody else is doing what he's called you to do. That's what we want to do. Surely there's somebody better to do this. Yeah, I guarantee you there is. But the thing is, are you willing to do what he's called you to do? I pray here, and I'm going to close with this. I pray God gets your attention this week. I don't want any bad phone calls this week saying, hey, I ended up in a fish's belly situation this week. I don't want that. But I'm going to be honest with you. If that's what it takes to get your attention, I hope you're in a fish's belly by the end of the week. And then I hope you listen to what he's got to say as he brings you out. Because somebody need you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as you spoke so long ago, you still speak today. Lord, help us to see. Help us to listen. Help us to love the way you want us to. That we would be what you've called us to be. Servants of the Most High God. Lord, I lift up those that don't know you. Lord, I pray you get their attention just the same. Lord, I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus that you get our attention. In your name I pray. Amen.